Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Would like to hear from you. Yeah, go over there and find that email link and send me an email. Put on the subject line, Cross the Border or Nicholas, so I can identify it. Comments, questions, corrections, challenges. I welcome it all because, you know, I do want to be right. And if I'm wrong and, hear me say something that's wrong, or, I want you to let me know and correct me, and, perhaps we can have a discussion and you can show me in the scripture. You get out your e-sword and, let's carry on a conversation. We left off in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was being let down into the dungeon, into the pit. It was a miry pit. Perhaps it was in the middle of a court, and this pit was, maybe it was a well that was dried out, or perhaps it was like a cistern in the center of a pit, in the center of the court to collect rainwater when they had rain. But for whatever reason, here was this pit, and in the bottom of it was just a muck and a mire, and they let down Jeremiah by a cord into this muck, and there he would surely die. He can't drink mud, and it's cold, and it would just drain the life out of you. You would die from exposure very quickly in a pit like that. But Jeremiah, a brave man, no coward. And do you remember, if one of the attributes of people who will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, one of the attributes of the people that will not be entering in is that they are cowards. So we have Jeremiah in the pit, and I left off talking about the faith of Abraham and how he was willing to sacrifice his only son, and how hard that was to do, but you know, the same type of faith being exhibited there. And the reason I bring that up is because during the Inquisition and during the trials of those who are forced to, are required to convert to Islam or die today, first, when the Inquisition comes again, or they require everyone to have a mark to buy or sell a trade, the first thing they threaten you with is the loss of your livelihood. Yes, you have to have the mark to buy or sell or trade, or you're going to lose your job and your livelihood, which means that you're going to lose all your property. And, well, if that doesn't work, then they'll take out your children before you and say, how are you going to feed your children? That's part of the loss of your livelihood, and your property is taking care of your children. But then they'll take you, just take your children. Oh, hey, wait a minute. They're doing that today. And I hear no outcry, and I'm appalled. I have this so-called Christian news service on the network here, and I have not heard one word about how this church in Arkansas was raided some time ago, and the pastor was taken out under the false allegations of producing child pornography. And when they could find no evidence, they did not let him go, but they trumped up other charges under some act where if he even provided a bus ticket to someone who crossed state lines, they trumped up these charges, and now they've got 10 counts of that against him, and they're holding him in prison. Of course, they've sealed the indictment, and nobody can see the evidence because it probably, most likely, does not exist. Or if anyone saw it, they would say there is no crime here. These are just charges and laws that they use to persecute whomsoever they will. And then a week ago, they got the names of all of the families that attend his church. And they went to them, they stopped some of them on the road or went to their homes, and they stole their children. And now they're putting them into foster care and public schools. And these people, they have the same type of faith and the same type of courage that Abraham, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Jeremiah have exhibited in the scripture, because they're standing up, even though the state has taken their children and told them to recant, to repent, to cut all of their ties with their religion. If that is not an inquisition, I don't know what is. And I have this new service. I haven't heard one peep or utterance, even with this so-called Christian new service. It makes me sick. And the total silence in the media about what is happening to this man and these people, these godly people. Yes, very much. It's coming. It's coming slowly and it's coming gradually, but it is coming. And yes, you may lose your livelihood. You may lose your property, and they may steal your children, but will you stand? Will you stand? You know, when Yahshua, when he said, whoever loves his mother or his father or his children more than me is not worthy of me. These people exemplify that. Yes, whoever loves his own life more than he loves me is not worthy of me. These words of Christ are serious words. These words that he spoke, we need to take them to heart. We need to know that these things are happening, have happened throughout history. We read about them in the Bible. We know they happened in history and they're happening today. And now it's incrementally, slowly creeping into our own nation. And nobody's saying a word. And especially all these evangelical, ecumenical churches are not saying a word because they're in bed with the state. They have been thoroughly taken over and they worship the false god of the state. The same thing was happening in Jeremiah's day. All of the prophets, all of the pastors were following the state. Yes, the state was Israel then, and the state today is much worse than what Israel was then. But nothing has changed, really. Will you stand? Are you standing? Have you already accepted the mark of the beast? Is your livelihood and your property and your own children? Because I'm going to tell you the truth. You love your children. I know fathers. I know mothers out there that how terrible a thing that is. I mean, I have experienced it. I have lost my children by the gun of the state due to wicked women. I know what it's like. I know what those parents are feeling, because the gun of the state ripped those children out of their parents' arms. And they plainly put it, you could read it for yourself, do a little research, just put in the name Tony Alamo and look at the stories and look at the videos. Go to YouTube and you can see one person had a cell phone that captured video of them stealing the children on the side of the road. No cause whatsoever. Nothing. These parents weren't abusing their children. Ripping infants from the arms of their nursing mothers. It's here. And if the church isn't going to speak up, they're going to become ever bolder. They have their minions. They have their worshipers, their idolaters in uniform, that will do whatever the judges say, whatever the law says. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. What is wrong with these people? They have no conscience? Is their conscience seared? Are they so worshipful of the state, of the idolatry of statism, that they can't see what they're doing? So stand. Stand with the faith of Jeremiah and all of those that came before you. Because if you say, okay, I will worship the state. I will bow the knee and do whatever you say. Just don't take my children. Let me have my job and my property. It is more likely that you will lose your children and your own life, because the scripture says, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. You're fearing the wrong God. You're fearing the wrong government. I would be more afraid if I did not, if I allowed the state to use my children to coerce me into worshiping them, that is obedience to them, rather than obedience to my Creator. I would be more afraid that I would lose my children to hellfire, because they're eternal, because if I'm obedient to God, and my obedience to Him and His law requires me to allow the state to take my children by the force of the gun, if I don't recant or submit and break God's law while doing it, it is more likely that my children will end up burning in hell. I would fear that more than the state getting my children and taking them from me and casting me into prison or just letting me suffer while they hold my children and try to put them in public schools, and which they do, and re-indoctrinate them. I would simply say, okay, Heavenly Father, I've been obedient. My obedience has caused me to lose my children. Heavenly Father, they are in your hand, and I'm going to trust you with them. And our Heavenly Father is faithful. I know it hurts. You know, it would hurt to have to let go of your children in that way. But what is more important, their eternal disposition or the temporal disposition? The threat of the loss of them during this life, or the threat of losing them forever? Because you may save them, and whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. There you have the warning from the lips of the Messiah himself. Trust in him. Come what may, regardless of what you have to suffer. And if the state wants to steal your children, know that putting him first may be the only thing that will save your children while it appears that you're losing them. That's the kind of faith we need to stand, like Jeremiah stood, like Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son, because our Heavenly Father did sacrifice his only son. Yahshua said, if you love your wife, your mother, your father, your daughter, your son, more than me, that you're not worthy of me. Trust him. If obedience requires allowing your children to be taken away, or requires that you cannot provide for them anymore, then trust him to provide. And if they steal your children, then trust him for their souls, because you have a great petition before him, and he is faithful. Because when you cry out and say, they've taken them, they have their bodies, Father. I would not sin against you, so they took my children. They're in your hands. And let me tell you, they're in capable hands, regardless of the way it looks. Because of your faithfulness, no matter what they put them through, and no matter what they have to go through in their lives, no matter what they're exposed to, in the end, they will be with Yahshua, and they will be with you in his kingdom forever. They cannot take that away from us. They cannot. So they took Jeremiah, they cast him into the dungeon, and he sunk in the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech, we're in chapter 38, verse 7, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let down cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, put now these old cast out clout rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah, king, sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that was in the house of Yahuwah. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, Wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king swore secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, As Yahuwah liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee to the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, Thus saith Yahuwah, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, If thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon, some princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live, and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hands, and they mock me. Yes, he's worried about what people are going to think and what people are going to say if he goes out there and surrenders. I am afraid, and of course the word Jews there is Yahudi, which was the word Yahudim. Yahudi was like saying American or Canadian or Britain. That's how the name was expressed. Nobody called anybody a Jew, because the term here that is translated by the King James translators as Jew is Yahudim, and because they were the people called by his name, and his name was Yahuwah. So they were his people. They were called the Yahudi or the Yahudim. There you have it. So Zedekiah was worried about what his nationals, the Yahudim, would say and what they would think. And he was worried that the Chaldeans would give him over to them and what they would do to him for surrendering. But Jeremiah said, They shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of Yahuwah, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if you refuse to go forth, this is the word of the Lord has showed me. This is the word that the Lord has showed me. Behold, all of the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, Thy friends have set thee on, and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, Let no man know these words, and thou shalt not die. So he's telling Jeremiah, Hush up. Don't say these words to anyone, what you've told me. But if the princes hear that I have talked with you, and they come unto thee, and say unto thee, Declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death, also what the king said unto thee. Then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. That means they didn't really understand. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Chapter 39 and verse 1. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal-Shazzar, Samgar-Nabo, Sar-Sekhem, Rabsaris, Nergal Shara Azar, Rabe Mag, and all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them, and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the king of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. The king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. Oh, that's what he gets for his pride. He didn't want. He was worried about what the princes of Judah would say and what the nationals would say. He was worried that the king of Babylon would turn him over to his own people and what they would do to him. He did not believe the words of the prophet, though he heard them, and this was his reward. The last thing he saw before his eyes were plucked out by the king of Babylon, he saw all his sons slain by the sword, and all of the princes that he was worried about what they would think and what they would say, they were all killed before him. Then the king put out his eyes, and they bound him with chains and carried him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and all those that fell away, that fell to him, with the rest of the people that remain. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left the poor of the people, which had nothing, in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, "Take him, and look well to him, and do no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." So he's saying, you go, take care of Jeremiah, and let him do as he pleases, whatever he wants. So Nebuzaradan, the king of the guard, sent Nebushasban, Rabsaris, and Nergal-Shazzar, Rabe Mag, and all the king of Babylon's princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison. And we'll pick up here when we get back. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.